The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey. The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be back. The title for today is Majoring in Minors. I'm going to talk about busyness today. I told Jeremiah yesterday, I said, call it Majoring in Minors, then we should probably put on the bottom, finally. Because that's been supposed to be the message for 3 weeks now. And I'm going to sit down today. I'm going to try and stay upright. I'm going to give you the premise for today's message, and then we're going to pray. You can be busy doing good things and still miss the best thing. Okay? You can be busy doing good things and still miss the best things. Let's pray. God, thank you. Your grace, your love, God, the mercy you've shown us. Father, I pray you will speak to us now and you will help us to relax in you, to stop striving and start resting in you. Thanks, God. Thanks. We ask it in your name. Amen. Have you ever come home from vacation and you need another vacation? You know, you spent months planning it, you packed the car, you packed everything up, you loaded the car, you fought traffic, you stood in lines, you answered work emails while sitting on the beach, checked your notifications every 15 minutes, you took pictures of every meal for the gram, because surely your 5 followers need to know what your chili con carne looks like. By the time you got home, you're exhausted. See, we become experts at being busy. We've convinced ourselves that our calendar is full, our life must be meaningful. But is that true? Our culture applauds busyness. Ask someone how they're doing, and they'll say, oh, I'm busy. Almost like it's a badge of honor, right? Well, obviously I'm important. Look how busy I am. But here's the question. What if we're busy doing things that don't matter nearly as much as we think they do? Tomorrow, is anybody going to care that you took pictures of your chili cheese dog from Sonic? Or your high-end steak from Ruth's Chris? No. In fact, nobody cares today when you post it. What if we become so occupied with urgent things that we've forgotten the eternal things?
See, Jesus had a friend named Martha, and she was busy. She was very busy. But Jesus teaches us one of the greatest lessons on priorities found anywhere in Scripture. So let's read it. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." That's probably not the way it sounded, though, right? "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you? My sister just sits here and I go do all the work. Tell her to come help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing to be concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, there's a lot of layers here, and there's a lot of nuance. Because if you read this wrong, you walk away thinking, Jesus doesn't want me to work. He just wants me to listen to him. It's a balance, right? So let's get into this. Busyness can look spiritual while still distracting us from Jesus. Now, notice something important about Martha. She wasn't doing anything sinful, right? She wasn't gambling. She wasn't getting drunk. She wasn't gossiping. She wasn't out living a rebellious lifestyle. She was serving Jesus, right? Nothing, ouch. Nothing she did was wrong. She was doing good things. Taking care of the guests, preparing a meal, doing something necessary, and yet Jesus gently reminded her she missed what mattered most. Sometimes Satan doesn't have to get us into bad things. He just has to get us so busy with good things that we neglect the best things. Have you gotten so caught up in doing good stuff that you neglected the best stuff? That's how distraction works. The enemy rarely just comes out and announces himself, "Hello, I'm the devil." He whispers, "Just one more meeting. Just one more commitment. Just one more project. Just one more notification." And before long, prayer disappears. Bible reading disappears. Family worship disappears. Quiet time disappears. Church becomes optional. Why? Because you're doing too many good things. And you're not focusing on the best thing. God gets whatever time is left over. Not because we stopped loving him, but because we got distracted. Martha's problem wasn't her kitchen. It was her priorities. You with me? How many of you guys have garages? Wow, no garages? Wow. I don't have one either, but I used to. Or a junk room? Okay, junk room, yeah. Okay, so imagine you go to your garage, you're looking for a screwdriver. 3 hours later, you're looking at baseball cards. You're trying on a jacket from 1997. You're holding a lamp that doesn't work, and you're trying to figure out whether you can fix it and keep it or not. And you still haven't found the screwdriver. Distractions have a way of stealing our mission. I'm looking for screwdriver, not baseball cards. Not some stupid old lamp that should have gone in the trash, 10 years ago. But it's a good lamp. It doesn't work. The world rewards activity, but Jesus rewards attention. There's something really beautiful in Luke, in verse 10:39. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Jesus simply sat there. She listened. She learned. Can you imagine that? The creator of the universe is sitting in your living room. He's speaking life. He's speaking truth. And Martha was missing it because she couldn't stop working. Now listen. Jesus is not condemning work here. The Bible praises hard work. Jesus himself worked. He was a carpenter. We know that. Paul worked. He was a tent maker. The Proverbs celebrate diligence. We did a whole series on how to work called the other six. Other six, yeah, because there's 7 days. I was told there'd be no math. But we serve God on Sunday. But what about the other 6 days? And our work reflects our faith. And I got news for you. You need to be the best employee your company has if you're going to say you're a Christian. Because if you're not, you're not a good reflection of the Savior you serve. Hello? Yeah, real quiet there. The problem wasn't work. The problem was allowing work to replace worship. Look, we've got our calendars filled with good things, but almost no time for God. Raising kids, building careers, paying bills, serving on committees, watching grandkids, running errands, keeping appointments, and they're all important. But if Jesus came to your house today, would you even have time to sit with him? Or would you say, Lord, can you come back Thursday? I'm really busy. Are you stupid? You've got a chance to sit the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, but you're too busy to do it? Imagine receiving a phone call from somebody that you've been in correspondence with for a long time and you've admired them all your life, and they say, I'd love to spend the afternoon with you, and you say, wish I could, but I got to reorganize my sock drawer. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But we often choose much less important things over spending time with Christ. Chuck Swindoll talked about the tyranny of the urgent. He said, you go to pray and your phone rings. Which is more important? It's not that phone. It's that time with God. If it's an important phone call, they'll call back. Or you can call them back. Look what he wrote. He said, the urgent screams for our attention. The important often sits quietly and gets ignored. I told you the story before of Dr. Everett Stenhouse, our district superintendent for the Assemblies of God. He called a pastor because he needed to talk to him about something that had gone on. And the church secretary said, I'm sorry, Dr. Stenhouse, he's in prayer. Dr. Stenhouse says, well, ma'am, I'm the superintendent of the Assemblies of God of Southern California. She said, I'm sorry, Dr. Stenhouse, he's with God. And to his credit, Dr. Stenhouse said, I'll call back. Let's get this pecking order straight. Anxiety is often the fruit of misplaced priority. You get nervous about stuff? Get anxiety and oh. Luke 10:41. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Now, he's not scolding her, is he? He's not telling her, hey, stupid, think about this for a minute. No, he says, my dear Martha, there's love there, there's compassion, there's tenderness. He said, you're worried and troubled about many things. The work wasn't the issue. The worry was. Her busyness produced anxiety. Sound familiar? Our phones never stop. Emails never stop. You know how many emails I get a day, and I'm not even working anywhere. I'm an old retired guy that sits at home. But I get emails, very important emails, from people that want to sell me things. Getting a lot of ads lately for hair loss and losing weight supplements and things, and I'm thinking, somebody is tattling on me. The news never stops. Turn on the news. Oh, today in Bosnia, okay. Have you heard the latest scandal involving? Who cares? I got things about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding. Now, I got news for you. I'm sure they're basically nice people. I don't give a flying fig over their marriage or their wedding. And she built a castle. Who cares? Let me list that on the things that I think are important. It's going to come in somewhere around 10,413,000. I got other more important issues, like, do I need to feed Winston yet? That Winston is far more important to me than Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Sorry, Tay-Tay. Social media never stops. I've got to check Instagram and see if somebody liked my post. Ooh, I feel warm inside. Look, if you're getting your self-gratification from Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or any one of these other weird things they got going on, you're looking in the wrong place. The world doesn't satisfy like Jesus does. But the world keeps shouting at us, do more, buy more, achieve more, keep up. And we're exhausted. You know why? Because we've mistaken motion for progress. We're running, but we're not resting. We're accomplishing, but we're not abiding. We're connected to everyone except Jesus. If you thought more this week about some celebrity scandal, is there a celebrity scandal out right now? I'm sure there is. There's always one. Sorry, somebody did something to somebody. Well, the WNBA is big right now. Don't get me started. Anyway, if you thought more about the WNBA this week than you thought about Jesus, you got an issue. Years ago, people watched television with rabbit ear antennas. Now, for you, those of you under the age of 30, this was a television. And it only had a black and white picture. Ooh. And we got like 5 channels. But we had rabbit ears because I grew up poor. So we didn't have like our own house. So we had to have rabbit ears. If you had your own house, then you're really cool and you could have an antenna on the roof. But if you're poor like me, you had rabbit ears and you had to put foil around one of the antenna to help the signal, right? And then if you changed the channel, it wasn't like having cable. Listen carefully, boys and girls. This was the remote control in my house. Jerry, go change to channel 5. Then you change the channel, and the signal's wrong now. It's all fuzzy and all freaked out, so you got to start moving the rabbit ears around. And you're standing there, and you get it, and they say, stop! Go back. Stop! Okay, right there. You take your hand off it, and all of a sudden the picture disappears. And now you got to decide, do I want to watch the show all scrambly wiggly, or do I want to stand here like a moron holding onto this piece of foil? Now, here's the problem. The signal from the TV station is always there. The problem is, this happened a lot. This happened a lot. I'd be watching television, and my brother would walk past the television and stand there because he's not very smart. He would just stand there, and when he did, he would block the signal. We'd yell at him, move! Move your chubby little body out of the way. We're missing the show. And then if he was really in a bad mood, he'd just stand there. And I would have to threaten to kill him to make him move. I missed a lot of Batman because of that. And that was back in the days, boys and girls, where you had to wait till the next Wednesday to find out if Batman lived. There's none of this, oh, it'll be on and, you know, it'll be on right after this in cable. No. We had to wait. And then we lived under the flight pattern for LAX. So we got good at lip reading. And the killer is... What did he say? I think he said Bob. No, I think he said Tom. Look. The signal's always there. It was the distractions interfering with the reception. Whether it's, you know, a bookcase in the house or my brother's body. Look, God is still speaking. The problem isn't his signal. It's our noise. It's all the chirping going on around us, all the stuff happening around us. And it's drowning out God's signal. His signal is as strong today as it ever has been. We're just distracted. I want you to look at this. The one thing we cannot afford to neglect. Look at Luke 10:42. Jesus is talking to Martha. He says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. One thing. Not 50, not 20, one. And Mary chose it. She chose Jesus. She chose his word. She chose his presence. She chose worship before work. Now look, that didn't mean that she didn't help later. We don't hear that part of the story. After Jesus was done teaching, she might have said, okay, let me go help Martha with dinner. It does mean that she understood her priorities, though. It means she understood what was vital, not just what was good. The greatest gift you can give your spouse is your walk with Jesus. The greatest gift you can give your children is your walk with Jesus. The greatest gift you can give your church is your walk with Jesus. The better you are, the better remnant is. Why? Because we become a family of believers. We become a group of people who are winning souls. We're helping people find Jesus. How do I know that's going to happen? Because it can't not happen. Your walk with Jesus starts to flow out of you. I was going to say the ooze, but that doesn't sound right. You ever meet somebody with that had so much perfume on it looked like they left a puddle when they walked away? I think that's sometimes how Jesus just wraps around us. Even after we're gone, it lingers. Okay, The greatest gift you can give your church is your walk with Jesus. Everything else flows from that. Everything in your life flows from your relationship with Jesus. Everything in your life gets better because of your walk with Jesus. You can't pour living water into others if your own well is dry. If I don't have 10 cents, how am I going to give you 10 cents? Maybe today your calendar looks like Martha's. Everything's urgent. Everything screams for your attention. Everything demands your time. And Jesus simply says, come sit with me. Not because he needs you, because you need him. Don't get this twisted. This is not for Jesus' benefit, although he loves, I'm sure, when his people are with him. But he knows that we need his strength, his power. We need something to help us get through the day because stuff's coming. So let me give you now some practical ways to take a vacation from busyness. I always want to give you something you can chew on for a while, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Vacation isn't always just leaving home. You ever had a staycation? That's usually what happens when you're too poor to go somewhere. Hey, kids, we're on a staycation. All right, Dad. Think of all the chores we can get done. Oh, I hate you, Dad. Sometimes vacation is leaving behind bad habits. So let's try these. This week, take a vacation from unnecessary noise. Okay? Do you really need to hear about Travis and Taylor's wedding? Turn off the television. I know some of your heart just skipped right there. But how will I know what happens on Love Island? That stuff rots your brain. I was flipping through the channels one day, and I came across Keeping with the Kardashians. And I could feel my IQ dropping the longer it was on. I tried adjusting the brightness, and it didn't get any smarter. It's an old joke. Here's one. Silence the phone. What? What if something important happens? They'll call back. I love the story of Coach McCartney. He was the coach of the Colorado Buffaloes college football team. He had a very strict rule. No phone calls during practice. One day, an intern came running up to him and says, Coach, you got a phone call. He says, you know the rules. There's no phone calls during practice. She said, no, it's from Sports Illustrated. And his program was just on the rise, and he thought, you know what? I think I can break the rule for this one. He goes into the office. Hi, this is Coach McCartney. She said, hi, this is Jill from Sports Illustrated. I've got a deal on you for 2 years. And he said, I never interrupted practice from a phone call ever again. Step away from social media. Lord have mercy. Spend 15 uninterrupted minutes reading scripture. 15, that's a 1 and a 5. You can do that. I have an Apple Watch that has a 15-minute timer on it. I could set the timer and do it. I'm not sure you necessarily need, but it's a good start. You know, time it out, 15 minutes. You know what will happen? Eventually, you want to keep reading. And in a shameful plug, beginning in October, you'll be able to buy a daily devotional that you know the guy who's written it. It will give you a chance to read through the entire Bible. Plus, it's got some... So my stupidity. I mean, my writing added to it, and you'll read through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once, if you follow it every day. You can spend 15 minutes a day doing that. I probably have to pay for the commercial now, but pray without checking your notifications. In fact, I'll do you one better. Put your phone in a different room. When I was full-time pastoring, I used to take, this is before cell phones, because my mind wanders. I'm ADHD to the max. Squirrel! You know, that's just the way I am. That's why sometimes I'll say things that aren't in my notes, and you're like, where did that come from? In here. And it's a scary place. You think the things that come out are weird? You should hear the things that stay in. I used to take my Bible and a pad and a pen, and I kept the pad and the pen next to me while I was praying and reading my Bible. And if my mind started to wander, I would write it down. I would get it off my mind. I'd go back to what I was supposed to be doing. Get rid of your phone while you're doing your devotions. If you're doing your devotions on your phone, that's okay. Just put it in airplane mode. I'm smart. SMRT. Eat one meal with your family without phones. All right, Junior, put your phone down. But, put your phone down. Or lose a thumb. It's up to you. All right, thumb may be drastic. Start with a pinky and work your way up. Take a walk and thank God for his creation. Now I know it's summertime. I know it's hot. I've been riding my bike. I haven't for the last couple of weeks, but I've been riding my bike. I ride 6 miles a day. And I spend a lot of that time, I'm just driving around my trailer park. It's not a trailer park, it's a motorhome community. I lived in a trailer park once. It was really different. I just drive around and I see the birds and I see the stuff, and I know it's going to get hot before I finish. But you know what? I thank God I can do that. I'll thank God when I'm able to do it again. Here's the thing. You do these things, the world won't fall apart. But your soul may finally begin to breathe again. At the end of your life, you stand before God. He's not going to ask you, how many emails did you answer? How many meetings did you attend? How many likes did you receive? He's going to care about things much deeper. Did you know him? Did you walk with him? Did you spend time at his feet? Because when everything else fades, his presence remains. This is the important stuff. If you're exchanging busyness, you're exchanging these things to be busy, you're missing the point. And I say that as a guy who spent time in pastor's offices getting caught up in the tyranny of the urgent, where a board member calls and he says, I want you to do this now, but I got 17 other things that I'm supposed to do now. Later on, I ran a crime scene unit, went to college at the same time, co-pastored Remnant. I was a busy boy. And I felt myself at times getting caught up in the tyranny of the urgent, and I had to step back. Say, okay, something's got to stop here. Something's got to go. But I still had family. Imagine you're packing for a two-week vacation. You have one suitcase for 2 weeks. You start to fill it. Extra shoes, 3 jackets, 5 beach towels, books you'll never read, gadgets you'll never use. Eventually, there's no room left for your passport. But without the passport, none of the other stuff matters. A lot of us have packed our lives the very same way. Schedules, activities, commitments, possessions, responsibilities. We've crowded out the very thing that gives us access to abundant life. Mary packed the passport. Martha packed everything else. So today, Jesus is calling us to unpack our lives, to leave behind unnecessary distractions, to get away from the busyness, to sit at his feet, because the best place you'll ever travel isn't the beach, it isn't the mountains, although I do love the mountains. It's not a cruise ship. The best place you'll ever be is in the presence of Jesus Christ. And unlike any other vacation we've talked about, you don't have to wait until next summer. The invitation is open today. Come. Sit at his feet. Choose what is better. And discover the rest that your soul has been searching for, that your soul has been longing for. Just sit at Jesus' feet and let him bless you. And right now, all of you are saying, okay, that's easy for you to say, Jerry, you're old and retired, and you don't do anything. Okay, part of that's true. Okay, most of that's true. But I did this long before that. I wasn't always perfect at it. In fact, sometimes I was really lousy at it. And I would catch myself getting short with people, barking orders at work, getting frustrated with little things. That's no way to live. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody around you. It's not good for the planet, dude. Look, I'm not saying this is easy. I'm just telling you, there's no other option. Do what is best, not what is just good. Okay? Some of you are going to walk out of here and wish that I had stayed sick and not been able to come and deliver this message. And if that's you, shame on you. Let's pray. God, thanks. Father, you are so good to us. And you love us. And you help us through all the things that so easily distract us and take us away from you. God, I pray that right now people are making life decisions on how they can come to you, God. If that's you right now, I just want to challenge you. Take a minute right now and say, okay, God, I'm tired of settling for the good things. I want the best thing. Help me do it. Because here's the thing. If you could do this on your own strength, you probably would have already done it. So now it's time to go to the Lord and ask him to help you. God, help me do this. Help me do this. Father, touch the hearts and lives of people here today, people watching on or listening. God, help us do the best thing. Start trimming away the bad stuff, maybe even some of the good things, so we can sit at your feet and listen and love and learn. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. We ask in your name. Amen. I love you guys. And I wouldn't challenge you if you couldn't do it. If I thought this was an impossible task, I'd have saved my breath. But this is what God wants. Guarantee it. Love you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.